blood for us, your Son Jesus Christ, establish the Paschal mystery. In your goodness make us holy, and watch over us always. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond that of man, and his appearance beyond that of mortals. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him kings shall stand speechless. For those who have not been told shall see. Those who have not heard shall ponder it. Who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him, nor appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned and avoided by men, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, one of those from whom men hide their faces, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings he endured. While we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. We had gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. We had all gone astray, but the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away. And who would have thought any more of his destiny? When he was cut off from the land of the living, and smitten for the sins of his people. A grave was assigned him among the wicked, and a burial place with evildoers. Though he had done no wrong, nor spoken any falsehood. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life. And the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in the fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Therefore, I will give him his portion among the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty. Because he has surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked, and he shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses.
Amen. Oh, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now the servant's name was Malchus. Jesus therefore said to Peter,
put up thy sword into the scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?
The cohort therefore and the tribune and the attendants of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him, and they brought him to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who had given the counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. But Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the portress and brought Peter in. The maid who was portress said therefore to Peter,
art thou one of this man's disciples?
He said,
I am not.
Now the servants and attendants were standing at a coal fire and warming themselves, for it was cold. And Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest said, therefore questioned Jesus concerning his disciples and concerning his teaching. Jesus answered him,
I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all the Jews gather, and in secret I have said nothing. Why dost thou question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. Behold, these know what I have said.
Now when he had said these things, one of the attendants who was standing by struck Jesus a blow, saying,
is that the way thou dost answer the high priest?
Jesus answered him,
if I have spoken ill, bear witness to the evil. But if well, why dost thou strike me?
And Anna sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. But Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They therefore said to him,
art thou also one of his disciples?
He denied it and said, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter had cut off, said,
can I not see thee in the garden with him?
Again, therefore, Peter denied it, and at that moment a cock crowed. They therefore led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. Now it was early morning, and they themselves did not enter the praetorium, that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Pilate therefore went outside to them and said,
what accusation do you bring against this man?
They said to him in answer,
if he were not a criminal, we should not have handed him over to thee.
Pilate therefore said to them,
take him yourselves and judge him according to your law.
The Jews then said to him,
it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death.
That the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he said, signifying by what death he was to die. Pilate therefore entered into the praetorium, and he summoned Jesus and said to him,
art thou the king of the Jews?
Jesus answered,
dost thou say this of thyself, or have others told thee of me?
Pilate answered,
am I?
Jesus in the center. And Pilate also wrote an inscription and had it put on the cross. And there was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews therefore read this inscription, because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and in Latin. The chief priests of the Jews said therefore to Pilate,
do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews.
Pilate answered,
what I have written, I have written.
The soldiers therefore, when they had crucified him, took his garments and made of them four parts to each soldier apart, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven in one piece from the top. They therefore said to one another,
let us not tear it, but let us cast lots for it to see whose it shall be.
That the scripture might be fulfilled which said, they divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister Mary of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother,
woman, behold thy son.
Then he said to the disciples,
behold thy mother.
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said,
I thirst.
Now there was standing there a vessel full of common wine, and having put a sponge soaked with the wine on a stalk of hyssop, they put it to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had taken the wine, he said,
it is consummated.
And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The Jews, therefore, since it was the preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a solemn day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers, therefore, came, and broke the legs of the first, and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers opened his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who saw it has borne witness, and his witness is true. And he knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken. and guided him from
as they would, the witnesses of those events we commemorate on Good Friday were never able to convey in words what actually happened. It was truly one of those events of which we are prone to say, you had to be there. And until one has truly been there, this day will remain nonsensical. Yet, that is precisely what this day communicates and what it is all about. It is about a kind of confusion and chaos that the rational mind and heart will not admit. Who can describe the pangs of panic that invade the core of one's being when overwhelmed by the enormity of chaos? Who can explain the complex mixture of pain and shame that floods the soul when one is caught and undone by one's own failing? What words can describe the waves of helplessness that attended those who liberated the concentration camps of Germany and Poland? What description can convey the anguish of those who stood inches from a president as he was assassinated? Such experiences begin to move us toward a reality that is only sketched in the biblical account of Good Friday. We see a disciple disappointed and frustrated to the point of betrayal, who careens out of control and eventually commits suicide. We see temporal rulers planning murder for political reasons. They arrest Jesus, then attempt to release him, then hear his case, then consider the religious opposition to him. We see a religious community honor the letter of their law, even if slaughtering the spirit of it, and then losing control as the man they execute is labeled as their king. There is a climate of emotional explosiveness, of nerves set on edge. Peter wounds an innocent servant. Pilate has second thoughts, and seeing the uncontrollable viciousness of the crowd, he is reported to have been genuinely afraid. Nature itself is out of order, torn by violent storms and
an uncharacteristic darkness at midday. In the midst of it all, stands one silent and bedraggled figure, dejected and broken, all but forgotten in the swelling of confusion. This is the scene that confronts us in the scriptural writings. And when our nature confronts this chaos, a further confusion ensues. For we are creatures of order, of control. We value highly the person who has everything under control. And we regard the lack of control as a form of sickness. We pray that we may not lose control as our bodies grow older or succumb to disease, and would sooner die and call it mercy than submit to any control beyond ourselves. So we come to Good Friday and the accounts of it, wanting to bring the events under control. We probe the political machinations, we analyze religious and theological premises, and still they elude us. We stare at them as we stare into the ovens of oceans, or at the bullet-riddled body of the president, or at the flash of fireball over Hiroshima. We look with exasperation at the reality that lies beyond our control. We, who do so like to be in control of everything, do not know what to do with this day. And it is probably for that reason that we can't call this day good. It is good in the sense that it is good for us. It is good for us to stare into the mess, which is so far beyond our control. It is good for us because it reminds us of what happens when our design runs amok. It is good for us because it reminds us that we are not in absolute control, even when we think we are. It is good for us also because it reminds us of our origins and our ends. The only other place in our narrative of faith that invites us to contemplate such a formless, chaotic, and unfathomably dark mystery is the Genesis narrative, which tells us that in the beginning, quote, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We are reminded that we are children of chaos, born of its confusion and fashioned of its corruptible elements, called by the Spirit of God from the tumult and shaped by God into whatever order we shall ever know. The great discomfort of Good Friday, then, is not the pain we inflicted upon Jesus, nor the sorrow of his death, but the reality of chaos it reveals. It is, most assuredly, a holy mess. But our tradition, our faith, sees within Jesus a new Adam. If Jesus be the new Adam, then this day, so filled with chaos, is surely the first day of the new creation. This crucifixion, and the turmoil and confusion surrounding it, constitute the raw mass of chaos from which a new order is made. And the humble, humiliating lesson that awaits us is that this new order, like the chaos, is beyond our control. So we take our places in the midst of this chaos to pay homage to the nonsense. If we but let go of those instinctive inclinations to probe the chaos or grasp it, we may find ourselves in awe of it. And if we come before the cross in this wise, we may be chastened and know true wisdom. We may actually be strengthened to face in humility the overwhelming chaos and the numbing nonsense of our own time. As we face the cross and the chaos, we may see that it is not God who is mocked in this crucifixion, but we ourselves. When we have seen this truth and confessed it, when we have surrendered our vain attempts to undo history, we may the more clearly discern the hand that has made us and continues to make each day a new creation. We may look upon this day and all our days and hear the benedictory acclamation that greeted all that was wrought of the chaos, saying, "It is good."
Forgive their sins through the waters of new birth, and give
give them life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty and eternal God, you continually bless your church with new members. Increase the faith and understanding of those among us preparing for baptism. Give them a new birth in these living waters and make them members of your chosen family. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for our brothers and sisters who share our faith in Jesus Christ, that God may gather and keep together in one church all those who seek the truth with sincerity. Almighty and eternal God, you keep together those you have united. Look kindly on all who follow Jesus, your Son. We are all consecrated to you by our common baptism. Make us one in the fullness of faith and keep us one in the fellowship of love. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for the Jewish people, the first to hear the word of God, that they may continue to grow in the love of his name and in faithfulness to his covenant. Almighty and eternal God, long ago you gave promise to Abraham and his prosperity. Listen to your church as we pray that the people you first made your own may arrive at the fullness of redemption. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for those who do not believe in Christ, that the light of the Holy Spirit may show them the way to salvation. Almighty and eternal God, enable those who do not acknowledge Christ to find the truth as they walk before you in sincerity of heart. Help us to grow in love for one another, to grasp more fully the mystery of your Godhead, and to become more perfect witnesses of your love in the sight of men. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for those who do not believe in God, that they may find him by sincerely following all that is right. Almighty and eternal God, you created mankind so that all might long to find you and have peace when you are found. Grant that in spite of the hurtful things that stand in their way, they may recognize in the lives of Christians the tokens of your love and mercy, and gladly acknowledge you as the one true God and Father of us all. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for those who serve us in public office, that God may guide their minds and hearts, so that all men may live in true peace and freedom. Almighty and eternal God, you know the longings of man's goodness watch over those in authority, so that poor people everywhere may enjoy religious freedom, security, and peace. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray, dear friends, that God the Almighty Father may heal the sick, comfort the dying, give safety to travelers, free those unjustly deprived of liberty, and rid the world of falsehood, hunger, and disease. Almighty ever-living God, you give strength to the weary, and you courage to those who have lost heart. Hear the prayers of all who call on you in any trouble, that they may have the joy of receiving your help in their need. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are we who are called to his banquet.
Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say a word.
Thank you.
cast this in the name of Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, send down your abundant blessing upon your people who have devoutly recalled the death of your Son in the sure hope of the resurrection. Grant them pardon, bring them comfort. May their faith grow stronger and their eternal salvation be assured by us through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Such as be fat upon earth, have eaten and worshipped.
All they that go down into the dust shall kneel before him, and no man hath quickened his own soul. My seed shall serve him. They shall be counted unto the Lord for a generation. They shall come, and the heaven shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born.